What is your major preoccupation as you spend each day in this life on this earth? Is it your job? Is it your family? Is it your home? Is it money? Is it education? I would wager that you spend the major portion of your time and energy on your job, if you're someone who is employed. Or if you're in school, you spend the major portion of your time on those academic subjects. And you have to study. You must study. And you must work. That's part of what this life in this world is all about. You have to raise a family, those of you that have families and are in that way now. And some of you in this auditorium this morning who are past that are glad that it's past and glad that you have grandchildren and great-grandchildren. You have to raise a family. You have to pay for college, etc., etc., etc. Life on this earth is filled with all those sorts of things. But the major question, it seems to me, is this. What is the major motivation, the underlying motivation for all that you do? What is it that drives you along in this life? Is it a worldly perspective that you have, or a godly perspective that you have? Is it an earthly, secular, humanistic perspective, or is it a God-centered perspective? It seems to me that our text this morning in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, give us the latter. A very godly, God-centered perspective on life in this earth. Enter by the narrow gate, Jesus says. For the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. The thesis I derive from this text is very simple, that our lives on this earth are spent in preparation for either heaven or hell. Jesus points us in that direction. He says there are two gates to enter and two ways to follow on this earth. The two gates, it seems to me, that Jesus is talking about indicate the major choices of this life, the underlying motivation that we may have in this life. Whether it's going to be for Jesus Christ or against Jesus Christ. You know, in our society today, it's very interesting, and I think to a large extent what's transpired in the last months and weeks is a vital indication of what's transpiring in our society. There's a cultural war that's going on in our society. It's really true, it seems to me. And there are those who are called the religious right, and they're called radicals. People who believe that the Bible is the Word of God. You know who that is, folks? That's you and me. That's us. And that's what Jesus is zeroing in on as he talks about the two gates. The narrow gate, it seems to me, is the gate of self-denial and obedience. It's the gate in which we enter into a life caught up with God and caught up with Jesus Christ. And it's interesting because this narrow gate is like a turnstile. In this part of the country, I haven't seen too many turnstiles. I'm sure you know what a turnstile is. If you are back on the East Coast and you go on the subway, for instance, you have to go down underground to get on the subway and there are these rows of turnstiles that you have to go through. And if you try and take any baggage through those turnstiles, you're bound to get hung up. That's all there is to it. I've tried to do that. And I'm telling you, if you're in a hurry, you're just tugging on that thing and there's that strap that's caught in that turnstile and you're a dead duck because the train is leaving. You're in serious trouble. That's the kind of thing that Jesus is talking about here. It's a gate that's narrow. One at a time, go through this gate. That's what he's talking about. And what he's telling us is that we need to shed worldly considerations, worldly goods. You can't get through that gate with all the worldly baggage that a lot of people are carrying in their lives. Worldliness like an unforgiving spirit. Several years ago, Lee Iacocca wrote a biography. He's on TV now in those commercials, about to retire. But as he came on board as chairman of the board of Chrysler Corporation, a biography was written. And I read that, and it was very interesting because in the very beginning of that biography, he talks about how he was fired from Ford Motor Company, and he says in black and white, "I can never forgive Ford for what he did to me and my family. I'll never forgive him for what he did." An unforgiving spirit. You know, to get through that narrow gate, you have to shed the worldly baggage of an unforgiving spirit, of selfishness and other things like that. The wide gate is the gate of self-indulgence, of hedonism. In our society today, hedonism is rampant. And it comes out of the 60s. I think Charles Colson is correct when he analyzes our times and says that the 60s were a great watershed in our present-day culture. And it's interesting because the people who were in the minority in the 60s and were talking about pursuing pleasure as an end of life are the ones that are in control of our culture and our society today. Hedonism. It's part of the broad way. Self-pleasure. Irma brought home an article the other day that talked about people who give to charitable organizations. I don't remember where she got it, but I thought it was very interesting because in analyzing young men and women in our culture today, this article said that by and large, those who are of the baby boomer generation give to charitable organizations, not out of a sense of desire to love others, but out of a desire to please themselves. They get pleasure themselves out of doing it. See, it's directed toward themselves. That's part of the broad way, the broad gate. And Jesus does talk about two gates and two ways. The broad way is the way of the flesh, the way of the deeds of the flesh. I'd like you to keep your finger there in Matthew and turn with me, if you would, to Galatians chapter 5, where we have the list of the deeds of the flesh and of the fruit of the Spirit. Two gates and two ways. The broad way of the flesh involves the deeds of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19 says, "Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousies, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." You know, Paul is very pointed here. You cannot practice jealousy, You cannot be in dispute all the time with your neighbor. You cannot be always indulging in outbursts of anger. You can't practice these things. That's part of the broad way in which people are walking these days. On the contrary, we have the narrow way. The narrow way, which is the way of love, which is the way of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Look at the fruit of the Holy Spirit that's listed in Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. The narrow way that Jesus speaks of is the way of love and of joy and of peace and of patience and kindness and gentleness and self-control. And the interesting thing is that Paul says there's no law against love. There's a law against adultery, and there's a law against stealing, and there's a law against lying, and there's a law against covetousness, but there's no law against joy and peace and patience. See, there are two different ways. I really think we have to reckon with that as we live in this earth. Back to Matthew chapter 7. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. There are two kinds of travelers on the earth. There are the many, as Jesus puts it, the many who choose to walk down Broadway. They're carefree people. They're without God in this world. I was visiting with a fellow this week, and he said, I just saw this morning on a television talk show people who had been born again being interviewed. And there was a pretty good-sized audience there. And he said, you know, it was really interesting the reaction of the audience to these people who were being interviewed, who were Christians. And the people in the audience were saying, you know, I don't sense at all any lack in my life. I don't sense at all any need for God. You know, that might be good for you. You might have had a lack in your life. And this born-again experience that you've had might be good for you, but I certainly don't need it. And that was the reaction of many in the audience. This is an amazing thing. People traveling down the broad way, they reject God. And it's interesting, too, because I'm going to get myself in trouble here. Sports and entertainment consume their lives. Now, let's get this straight here. Athletics in themselves are not bad. I don't believe that's the case. And I really enjoy a good basketball game and a good football game. And I'll be over there shouting and jumping up and down with the rest of them. But you know what happens in our society? Is that athletics are used as an escape. And entertainment is used as an escape from the work of the Holy Spirit in the hearts of men and women to cover up and to mask and set aside the work of God. And that's a deplorable situation. Many of these people who are in the broad way are healthy, energetic, wealthy people. And if you'd look at them, you'd say, that's the kind of person I want to be. They're built right. Physically. And everybody looks up to them. And they have some money and they drive a nice car. But they're walking down the broad way. On the other hand, there are the few, Jesus says. Verse 14, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. By way of comparison, dear friends, the other category is few. This is the word of Jesus Christ. They are walking down the way of following Jesus Christ. They're in the minority. Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen. The few, those radicals. You know, the Hutchinson News said this last week, was a little article, I forget what page it was on, it was buried in like page 6 or 7 of the Hutchinson News, that the radical religious right was repudiated in this last election. You people that believe the Bible. It's the few, though, Jesus says, who find the narrow gate and walk the narrow way. Keep your finger there in Matthew and turn to the Gospel of Luke, to a parallel passage. Luke 24. Nope, I'm sorry, Luke 13, verse 24. Luke 13, 24. Strive to enter the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. The individuals who have gone through the narrow door and are on the narrow way have been enabled by God to do so. They are born again people. People who have been operated upon by the Holy Spirit of the living God, who have been given new hearts, who have been given a new spirit, who as a result love Jesus Christ. They have repented of their sin. They have trusted in Jesus Christ as the only Savior from sin. They have turned to Jesus Christ and have said, yes, Lord, and they are following Him in the way of sanctification. They are going down that narrow road because they have been enabled by God to do so. What a wonderful thing that is. And I say to you this morning, dear friend, if you have entered the narrow gate, and if you are going down the narrow road, following Jesus Christ, you, dear friend, have been enabled to do so by the power of the Holy Spirit working in your heart. What a wonderful thing that is. What a confidence that should give you as you look back and as you look forward in your own life. Well, let's press on in this text. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few there are who find it. There are two destinies that Jesus is talking about here. One of two eternal destinies awaiting each and every earthly traveler. Verse 13, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. The first destiny is the destiny of destruction. And what Jesus, dear friends, is talking about is eternal destruction in hell, eternal burning and torment. You know, even as I utter those words this morning, it comes to my mind that people in our society today and even in the Church of Jesus Christ do not want to talk about it. And there is a movement within the evangelical church today to overturn the teaching of hell.
to do away with it. But Jesus is not willing to do away with it. I want to look at some scripture here outside of Matthew again. And so keep your finger in Matthew 7 and turn, please, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 66. The very end of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 66. Verse 24. You see, that is the very end of Isaiah. Then they shall go forth and look on the corpses of the men who have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, and their fire shall not be quenched, and they shall be an abhorrence to all mankind. Isaiah is giving a foreview of eternal destruction. Where their worm shall not die, where there is death continually, and the worm never consumes. And their fire is not quenched because the burning always continues and the corpse is never consumed. And then they shall go forth and look. That there are those who will be able to look on this scene. You know, there's kind of a funny commercial on television. Have you seen it? My family is smiling. They've seen it. I don't know what motel or hotel it talks about. I don't remember. But you remember the commercial? There's these two guys that are standing there. And there's billowy clouds behind them. And the one fellow has a briefcase and suitcase and all this stuff. And the proprietor is saying, describing the accommodations. And the one fellow says, yeah, it's like heaven here. And he asks the question, does everybody have a hotel room like this? And the other fellow looks over the edge and he says something like this. No, others have other hotels. It's funny in a way, but we can't get rid of the religious and biblical connotations, even in the commercials. It seems. It's real, folks. Turn now, if you would, to Mark. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9 and verses 47 and 48. Jesus is speaking again and he says, and if your eye causes you to stumble, cast it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. You see, this is what we're talking about. This is the word of Jesus Christ. This is the place, dear friends, where the anger of men is multiplied by infinity, and those who are in this place are angry infinitely with one another. This is the place where there is also infinite loneliness. Have you ever been lonely in this life? There is infinite loneliness in this place. There is also infinite jealousy and hatred. There are those who say, I'd like to go to hell and be there with my friends. There aren't going to be any friends in that place because there are going to be dissensions and divisions and hatred so great that friendship is impossible. We laugh at this kind of thing. But my friends, it's real. This is the thing that we have to get through our heads. The broad way leads to eternal destruction. And where does the narrow way lead? Look now at Revelation. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. Here is the wonderful, beautiful, extraordinary contrast. Revelation 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he shall dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them. And he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there shall no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. There aren't going to be any more walkers behind which the elderly struggle. There aren't going to be any more wheelchairs. There isn't going to be any more medication. Last night, our family went out for dinner. And we just sat around the table and laughed at one another and enjoyed one another. You know what? The joy in heaven is going to be infinitely greater than that. In the family of God, infinitely greater. See, that's the eternal destiny of those who are on the narrow road. And you know what? We're right on the doorstep. As we're here this morning, right on the doorstep. To me, that's the incredible thought. If you're on the Broadway, you're right on the doorstep of hell. If you're on the narrow way, loving Jesus Christ, you're on the very doorstep of heaven. How good it is. See, that's my thesis this morning. That our lives on this earth are spent in preparation for either heaven or hell. And I think it's true. And I think this scripture that we've just looked at tells us that it's the case. Do you love Jesus Christ? Are you born again of the Holy Spirit of the living God? Have you gone through the narrow gate? And are you on the narrow road? It's not the popular road. And people will say it's too narrow. But it's not too narrow for Christians, for followers of Christ. And I say to you again, if you're on that road, dear friends, you're on the very doorstep of heaven itself. Because this life is spent in preparation for eternity. Let's pray together. Father, even as we look at some of these descriptions, only briefly, I pray, O God, that it would come home to us. I pray, Father, that you'd be pleased to bless us with an understanding that this life is preparatory for the next. And that this ought to be the undergirding, motivating factor in all that we do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.